Odprti termin Radio Študent.
En lep in posrečen pozdrav iz Doline Rož, Rožne doline. Z vami smo aktualno politična redakcija, ki pripravlja okroglo mizo o tretjem medijskem sektorju. Natančneje, z vami sva Martin Mittendorfer in Jaka Virant. V sklopu tretjega medijskega sektorja pa bomo govorili predvsem danes o javnem interesu na področju medijev in dotaknili se bomo, kako pa da ne, medijske zakonodaje, ki se ravno v Sloveniji spreminja. Poslušalce prosimo, da če imate kakršnokoli vprašanje, bomo zelo, zelo veseli vašega klica na številko
0142 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88 88
Imamo pa seveda, ker je okrogla miza, nekaj gostov, govorili pa bomo v angleščini, tako da tudi če imate kakšne spletne prevajalnike na hitro, tisti, ki ne razumete angleško, kar na plano z njimi. Zdaj pa bomo kar, let's switch to English and Martin will say a word or two about our guests and the topic we will talk about.
Yeah, so we have three guests from different countries. So first we have Helmut Peissel from Austria, who works in a community media institute from Austria and has recently co-authored a study about the public value of non-commercial broadcasting. So yeah, hi Helmut.
Hello.
Hello. Then we have Kenneth Murphy from the School of Media at Technological University of Dublin. He also researched and researches the organization of community media in Ireland. Hello Kenneth. And then we have Tomáš Zaniuk. He's, of course, a long-time associate of Radio Student, former chief editor, director, and so on. So, hi Tomáš.
Hi, zdravo, pozdravljeni.
Dobar dan. Se pravi, so, if we start, we said that we're gonna talk about the third media sector. This is a very vague, very wide term, and is applied or is applied differently in different, let's say, countries, European countries mostly, also to some extent in the US, recently in India and so on. But so my first point is, why do we even need, let's say, this third media sector? What is this third media sector? So the starting point is, of course, because all the media, or let's say the media that are pressured by market pressures, that not only have to produce information for publics, but maybe even before that produce profit for their owners, they don't serve the public interest in the media as well as a media that is in a way, let's say, decoupled or at least not so dependent on the market, could serve the public interest. So we have, for example, in our media law there are some changes, but this declarative definition at declarative level of this public interest is still more or less the same. So it encompasses things like right of minorities to public information, plurality and diversity in media, then media literacy, independent journalism, preservation of national culture, cultural creativity in media, and so on. But this, as I said, is only on declarative level. Then you have certain measures that are, let's say, that take care of this or that implement these declarative goals in certain ways. For example, in Slovenia we have RTV Slovenia as the main public broadcaster. And then also we have as a supplement, a kind of supplement, these statuses for programs of special purposes. Different statuses. And so there's this kind of basic, structure, which has of course its problems that we will try to explain today. So first, maybe if I ask you a wide question, what is public interest in the media? Regarding what I said, how is considered in your local environment, and what are the problems with these definitions?
Perhaps Kenneth should start and then continue with Helmut, and at the end Tomáš. I choose this ranking by the who is the furthermost geographically away from us. Yeah.
Okay, well, greetings from Dublin, and in the Irish context, community radio really developed around the concept of social inclusion. Was very important in terms of allowing various different individuals and groups who may be excluded from participating in society to become, you know, better included in social development overall. It developed away from the mainstream of media development, the public service broadcasters and the commercial broadcasters, and very much operated at a local level, and was only laterally included in legislation and in regulation. So the starting point for the public interest in media in general is that of, you know, citizenship and full membership of a community, and definitely community radio was a specific aim to include people at local level in relation to that idea of citizenship, and that is really where the public interest in community radio starts and has developed from.
And I mean, but also, of course, you have the RTE, I think it is, like the public broadcaster.
Yep, RTE is the main public service broadcaster, and it's had a monopoly in the Irish context up until 1988. In 1988, an act was introduced to basically liberalize the sector, and that allowed for commercial broadcasting to be introduced. And in general, you know, the public interest is seen as being providing universal services that, again, are a resource for the public more generally in terms of providing information, in terms of allowing for public opinion to be formed and relate to those kind of broader aspirations of the public sphere. So community broadcasting is developed within that to offer a different scale of communication, and one, as you mentioned earlier, that is less dependent on the market, is less controlled by political strictures, and essentially gives a voice to those who would otherwise be excluded from mainstream communication.
Mm-hmm. So Helmut, I mean, I guess it's the it's quite similar in Austria, but with let's say a bit of a different development.
Yes, hello from Vienna. Glad to be with you today. Well, let's say, well, of course, the higher what is the role of the media, or more focus on this term public value of the media, I think it's also about the informed citizens, about articulation, participation, and as a whole support for the democratic system. It would not work without a more or less broad media system. Yeah. What's the specific situation in Austria is that there were many people and many groups, which disagreed with the broadcasting monopoly, which was upheld here until 93, and started with pilot broadcasting already since the late 80s. But at the same time, there was a struggle, there was a, as we claimed at the Human Rights Court, that the in Strasbourg, so with the Council of Europe, that the monopoly in Austria was not legal, and it was abolished in 93. So they had to open the airwaves, and the interest to open came from both commercial broadcasters, from the community broadcasters. Of course, with very different background and interests. So for us, it was the main issue to open broadcasting stations where people could get a voice, which are more or less excluded from the public service, or they are also now from the commercial stations, which means for one side, for example, only if you look at the question of language diversity, you had some broadcasting in the national minority language, but no broadcasting in the language of all the new minorities. Yeah. So if you compare now, for example, very practical, the program diversity of a community media in Austria, you have more than 30 languages which are present. But this makes it very visible. And it's about local, of course, local engagement. It's about people doing their shows for their public, for the larger group. And it's a lot about training. Yeah. So I think it's maybe in Germany, they say often it's about public access to the radio or the TV. It's about training and it's about local journalism, for example.
Mm-hmm. And Tomáš, I've presented. So we see this like different, let's say, traditions or different, maybe even definitions or quasi definitions of public interest in different contexts. So if you present your point of view on, let's say, Slovenian understanding of public context.
Context of public interest in the field of media, nevertheless of which government is in charge, is unable to recognize the third media sector in Slovenia. Partially this is because of some special historic origin of Slovenia media, because maybe in former country we had, like, every municipality had a municipal radio that was established by municipality and was functioning in somehow the way of as a community third media radio. But after the Slovenian independence, the major premise of understanding of public interest in the field of media is built on the statement that you have only two kinds of media in Slovenia. You have public media and you have private media. And therefore also the third media sector and also all the special statuses of special purposes of in media or special meaning of how we translate it are then therefore built on the premises that it is about private media, and that is it. So also the research of European Parliament done already as far as in 2007 declares that in Slovenia we have a partial recognition of the fact that the public interest of media is also guaranteed by somehow in third media sector, but it is also only partially recognized as a form of student radio, where we can call it as form of community media, but in fact in Slovenia we have the oldest student radio in Europe, which was 50 years old, and also in Maribor we have a really old student radio. So our main focus, I think that I can say that we on Slovenia are somehow on the beginning of a trail or a path of a fight of somehow to get some legal recognition of third media sector, and also the fact that of course third media sector is more in public interest in the field of media than as there are other radio stations which can be like local or other statuses of special meaning, but are still privately owned and are legally organized as companies for profit, which is still their main purposes. And so I believe that we are on the beginning of the path that Austria or some other countries that have already fought maybe like 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting here in Slovenia that, I mean, we are talking about like changes to the better, or changes to, let's say, to have this third media sector, but in a way we are talking about this at the time where the government is changing, well, it's a kind of understanding the public interest, let's say, as far as I understand, in even a narrower sense, or not narrower, but even vaguer, even more empty sense than it was before, even though even before it wasn't perfect. For example, now, as we all know, at least here in Slovenia, the current proposal for the change of media law like wants to take a part of the money that RTV, so the public broadcaster, gets and give it to, for these special statuses, for, let's say, for this prototype or kind of third media sector, which isn't exactly the third media sector. But so instead of providing budget money for these special programs, like it was now, the government wants to take the money from RTV. So on the one side, public interest will suffer because it will take money from RTV. On the other side, it won't get any new money because the quantity of money that the this special purpose programs will get will still be the same. So one side loses, the other side gets. And the most interesting in this is the argumentation of the Ministry of Culture, which says that actually all the media, in a way, inform the public similar to RTV, sorodno z RTV po slovensko. And so all the media should get their funds, or all the media that are similar to them. So maybe if we focus first on public interest in the sense of this bigger, let's say, almost corporations, RTV is the biggest employer in journalism in Slovenia. So what's the problem with them? So if we talk in relation to community media, to third media sector, why do we even need the media sector? I mean, isn't RTV enough? So maybe Tomáš first.
First, I would like to emphasize that with this latest media law changes proposed by the government, that we must emphasize that it is a right-wing government. So all the changes go sort of in favor of private-owned, partly also by the ruling party, connected privately-owned media. And therefore also the major points of the new changes, suggested changes, which the public debate just ended a couple of days ago or weeks ago, are focused in somehow to liberalize the entire media society. The other thing is to say that in Slovenia we have a really old media law that really needs some adjustment to the new, especially internet-based reality. And as we can only oppose to the fact that they are taking the money of the public national broadcaster and to put it in some kind of funds for some kind of media, that is, of course, we can only oppose. And because all the other fields of public interest in Slovenia are funded directly from the budget of Republic of Slovenia, and therefore I think that there is a firm case that we must demand that also the funding of the public interest in the field of media remains in the field of direct budget funding, not on account on the money raised by the subscription to a national public broadcaster, which was now used just for the public broadcaster. But as far as things were suggested, as the definition of the public interest of the former media law, or the now is still invaluable, and the now new proposed change, the third media sector is by all the points of in public interest in the field of media of Republic of Slovenia. This is also an important point. And of course, we must say that the decision that the public interest in the field of media would go beyond just for radio and television, just for broadcasting, also on internet media and printed media. I think that this is also an okay decision, because there are a lot of medias that had to compete with other commercial medias, even therefore they are in a big contributor of to the public interest in the field of media in Slovenia. So they are not all the suggested changes are bad, but my belief is that the way this is proposed, the third media sector and its major role in the public interest in the field of media is still left out and remains without some kind of formal recognition. Therefore, we in the an initiative for the association of the third media sector, media free and community medias of Slovenia, have decided also to intervene in the public discussion on the suggested media law by proposing some other points that should be defined with the special meaning of unprofit media, that it could answer to all the types of definitions of third media that is, in of course, more in the public interest in the field of media, by of course our belief.
Okay, and maybe for Helmut, similar question. So you talked about broadcast monopoly that developed in Austria before and was a trigger for a fight for third media sector. But what's the problem with this monopoly? I mean, couldn't the monopole broadcaster provide the same public interest to in Austria as the new third media sector? I mean, why is it necessary to have a third media sector?
Well, that is a clear no, and that was also the a decision of the Human Rights Court, who abolished the monopoly, because there has been said that there is a right of specific group of the public to have their specific information and also their specific access to the media, which was prevented by the monopoly. And the fact, if you look, for example, only if you look at different cultural groups, social groups, also ethnical or migrant groups, they all had no access and no program with the public service programs in Austria. They had been a regional radio program and also two national channels with some regional windows, but this is only very focused on a very mainstream public. That was the idea in these 80s and 90s. So the public service could not represent the diversity of the society. I think that's maybe a key question. And that was the role of the community media. It was completely different from the commercial broadcasters who wanted to get on air. They wanted to make a business out of it.
there was a kind of gold rush in this time. Then there came the big disillusion because it was not possible to make so much business out of it. But for the question of diversity, of media content, the big contribution came from the community media. That is very clear, and we have several studies who really can really underline this very clearly, also by research. And the question of language diversity is only one. Yeah, the other is of course also of localness. Yeah, if you have even if Austria is not a big country, but we have now 17 community stations, so 14 community radios and 3 community TVs. Of course, they are much more going in detailed local information than any of the public service programs. So that is, I think, the needs of the public also changed. Yeah, with the change of the concept of democracy. Yeah, before maybe everybody was focused on some big political questions, and so now there is much more demand from the public to get involved, to articulate, to participate, and to have a say. And in the community radios and TVs, there is this place, and the people get also supported, yeah, to produce their shows, to make the program. It's not, if you have a look, a side look on the big internet platforms, there everybody, of course, can also do it. But it's out of nowhere because there is no training, there is nothing to support. Yeah, that is completely different. So it's all in our field. It's really to set up in this discourse. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. So what about in Ireland? I mean, you have, as far as I understand, Kenneth, you have like a special chapter of the media law, or however is it called, that focuses on this, let's say, third media sector or the community media.
Yeah, community media in Ireland is recognized as a separate sector, and the broadcasting authority, the regulator, tends to refer to community media as the third pillar of public service broadcasting. So its idea is that there's three pillars to public service broadcasting: the publicly funded RTE, which is the national broadcaster, and then the publicly regulated commercial broadcasters, which, you know, have a commercial remit but may respond to certain steering or certain regulation that, you know, it basically encourages them to produce more news, more spoken word content, more locally relevant content. And then community is the third tier of the public service, and this is really important because it gives recognition and it puts it on an equal footing with the other two tiers, you know, as being important in the fulfillment of the public service remit. The way its legislative recognition has developed was relatively slow and piecemeal. Essentially, the 1988 Act, Radio and Television Act, allowed for private media, which to begin with were mostly commercial broadcasters. And then the BCI, or the BAI, the Broadcasting Regulator, started a pilot project wherein 11 stations were given licenses, and between the BCI and the 11 community radio stations in that pilot project, there was created a policy on community radio in 2001, and this became the basis for the regulator's recognition of the community media sector. But it still was not recognized in formal legislation until the 2009 Broadcasting Act, wherein the whole definition of community radio as a radio station which is characterized by its ownership and programming by the community that it's authorized to serve was fully included in the Broadcasting Act of 2009. So that's a real achievement, but it's salutary to see the gradual way in which that developed and the way in which the community broadcasters themselves were very much included in the development of the policy and the definition of community radio broadcasting, and then the legislative formulation of that in 2009. And that's made a real difference in terms of the recognition of the sector, both at a social level, you know, in terms of the communities that it represents, and also within developing law, because we're at a significant point of change. There's a lot going on in media law and media regulation. We're moving away from sector-specific regulation towards the idea of creation of a media commission in Ireland. And it's really important that community radio is now positioned to be involved and recognised within this shift of regulation and governance, because otherwise it could easily be left behind.
Mm-hmm. And could you explain more in detail, so what are now by law and maybe even what should be and why the conditions to become a community or, let's say, a non-commercial media?
Yeah, the full definition that was included in the original policy, the policy on community radio broadcasting is as follows. A community radio station is characterized by its ownership and programming and the community it is authorized to serve. It is owned and controlled by a not-for-profit organization whose structure provides for membership, management, operation, and programming primarily by members of the community at large. Its programming should be based on community access and should reflect the special interests and needs of the listenership it is licensed to serve. And that's really the core foundational element which differentiates community media from the commercial media sector and the public broadcaster in the Irish context.
Mm-hmm. And could we talk like that? I mean, is there a way that that someone gets the status of a community media, but still actually is, let's say, just gets these funds, but isn't really a community media? How should I say that? He's encompassed in, let's say, a bigger ownership network, and because here we have such problem that a radio station can be a part of a larger commercial broadcaster radio, let's say, network, but still a small local station gets this fund for special purposes, and of course if it gives its profits into the work of the media itself, It's not profit, you know. No one pays himself profit out of it, but just everything that is that you get, it gets inside the working of the station.
Yeah, this is quite rigorously regulated in Ireland. There's the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland will only issue a license if it's quite clear that a radio station adheres to all of those kind of characteristics in terms of its ownership and control, in terms of its programming, and in terms of the access that it allows for local community members. It's not possible for a radio station to maintain a license if it in any way integrates with, you know, a commercial an overall commercial organization or some kind of network of you know, that works on a commercial principle. It's the license will be withdrawn. That is rigorously policed. It's never been the case either. We've never had any situation whereby the recipient of a community radio station license has actually operated like a commercial broadcaster.
Mm-hmm. And so, Tomáš, would you like agree or maybe even explain a bit more in detail about what I've asked? Or would you even agree with me that it is that simple? Or because I simplified it a bit. So what are the conditions, let's say, now under these statuses, and where could we see the possibility for changes that that we could get a third media sector in a proper way?
Yeah, basically the conditions now in Slovenia is that we find free community media in almost all categories of this special meaning, that is substitute of public interest in the field of media beside public broadcaster. But that is why we tried to intervene in the public debate on the last proposed changes of the media legislation, and we tried to propose a special definition for third media community free media that we somehow, in the way that the this government proposed the changes, we saw it fit that it goes into the status of unprofit media of special purpose or meaning. But while the government proposes that, okay, it is it is the only status of special meaning, that it is necessary that the legal entity of the publisher is non-profit, all the others can be also commercial entities made for profit. The conditions proposed by this government are only that in the case of radio, it makes 30% of its own program content of its own production. That it is a non-for-profit legal entity. That all its profits or goes into the his meaning or his primary activity. That the wages of all of his employees are not more than the wages of the people working in the public sector, and that it has obeying long-term contract with at least two journalists. Or program workers that are working on the program content. And this is all that is now being proposed by the government to get this status of unprofit media of special meaning or purpose. And therefore we intervened in the public debate and suggested that we put another article into the media law that would define also the status of unprofit media of special meaning, but free and community media. So that by all of the already pointed out conditions, that there will be also some extra conditions for it. And these conditions are that the publisher that wants to get this status must also with its internal acts and legislation enable participation of its workers, contributors and all the members of the editorial board when it goes to elections to the leading functions like director manager or chief editor-in-chief. And also when the program scheme for the next program period is being accepted. Next one, that it is independent from the government, commercial, religious institutions and political parties. This is important for Slovenia because we have some media that are really really closely connected to religious institutions or political parties, even the most big government and parliament party at the moment. The next, that it proves transparency of ownership and the sources of financing. This is also important for Slovenia case because we have some medias that look like an NGO, not-for-profit media, but it is absolutely not clear where do they get their revenue or where do they get their finances. and that it is responsible to the community, and that it enables the inclusion of members of those community into the building of program contents, and that it also carries on informal trainings and media literacy in the field of media jobs, let's say, and of course that it supports the rights of minorities and marginalized groups, and that it protects cultural and language diversity. These were the extra conditions that we proposed to this government and to the Ministry of Culture, and of course we will see what will happen with these suggestions. But as I said before, our struggle for the legal formalization and the recognition of the public value of third media sector of free and community medias is still at the beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Of course. You've kind of opened the question of, let's say, in your proposals, the question of kind of autonomy of the media, because this is one definition or one part of this public interest, of course, is the plurality and, let's say, diversity in media. No, so and this autonomy of editorial boards, autonomy of even self-management, we could say, of this, let's say, independent media, is, I think, a key part to this plurality. Because if you have I don't know, as in like main newspapers, you have private owners that can change their editors-in-chief as they want. They don't have to listen to journalists, to the board of journalists, who they want for their editor, why he is the best for it, and so on. So that you have kind of autonomy. So the owner can do whatever he wants, practically, in most cases. So, this autonomy is important, on the other hand, because if journalists are autonomous, of course they can produce better, you know, more quality, more, let's say, more journalistic in the real sense of the word, contents for publics. And of course autonomy is not let's say free will and so on, it's strictly tied to the rules of journalistic professions, of course, that serves public. So my question is, because as far as I know, let's say in different countries, this community media are a kind of, let's say, not so journalistic maybe, but more free, you know, more free in concept, in style. So are there maybe any problems, let's say, in Austria or in Ireland, that they're often they get funding, but they don't, I mean, of course it's local content they produce, but it's not editorially checked, so that there can be a program that is quite, you know, anything goes. Maybe Kenneth first, or Helmut.
Okay, well, in Ireland, the situation is that there's a lot of diversity in the stations that are that have been licensed as community broadcasters, and you may get stations in Dublin that have a continuous source of income and are able to fund journalism on an ongoing basis, and this really determines whether the journalism can develop in a way that is well-resourced, independent, and produces journalism that is somewhat different or alternative to what the mainstream or the larger media offer. In other situations, you have community broadcasters which are less well-funded, are dependent on volunteers who don't draw from a large amount of the population, and they're also then more dependent on secondary sources and information from existing media institutions. So it really becomes a question of scale and a question of funding, and it's something that really needs to be looked at by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland and regulation in general. E.g., how do you essentially allow for funding to be better dispersed across the sector, so that all of the various different representative community media organizations can put their funding into establishing, you know, independent journalism. I would say that this hasn't been an issue so far because of the focus on social inclusion and essentially providing the way in which community media has provided a means of community development. There has been a certain degree of just passing up the opportunity of seeing community media as important parts of the overall infrastructure of journalism, and being able to provide something that isn't alternative and different. And I think that's something that's going to change soon, that we need to see community media as producers of news and journalism organizations, not just producers of community participation. So that is something that is, you know, definitely changing at the moment. And it is being looked into in relation to current debates in the sector.
So, Helmut?
Well, in Austria we have, I must explain a bit, because we don't have a legal definition of community media, community radio, TV in the law, but only in the funding law, yeah? So that's the problem, that we have exactly the same licenses that any commercial private station, yeah? It's only a law on private broadcasting we are based on. So the difference is then that our members, they dedicate themselves to this category, yeah? It's a self-created category even before the law existed. And we have a very far-reaching charter of community media in Austria, which is very hard, as a very far-going ethical, yeah, charter, a kind of, you would say, self-regulation, yeah? And the regulator refers to this charter partly when it comes to funding. Yeah, so it's a bit the question, and that's also why for us the question of public value is important, that we came up, yeah, with a self-definition and with, let's say, self-obligations, yeah, we were all subscribing to, which are very far-reaching, which are more far-reaching than any ethical declarations, for example, from the Press Council, yeah, and within the sector, there even is a huge diversity. We have stations which several journalists have there during the mainly part of the program, and others with nobody who is doing a real paid journalistic work, so only volunteers. So we have the whole scale, and as some of the stations are in the bigger cities and others are on the countryside, this they have to respond to very different needs, yeah, of the people in the area. So I think it's the question a bit, where you want to go. But I am actually rather also for setting up and providing a discourse on the question of quality. What does mean quality in the environment of community media? Yeah, and it has to respect that there are different needs in different situations. But it's, I think that the core aspect is that there must be a permanent discussion on that, yeah? And we, for example, try now to get more connected also with the Press Council and say, well, they are a kind of self-regulating body with very reflected decisions, and there is no such a body for the private broadcasting area in Austria. So we would, I think, go there also to say, we join you, because the stations and the responsible people, they want to make serious work, it's not about just how we get the most of money. In any case, we always running behind and trying to get money. We get so small, yeah, if you compare it to public broadcasting or even to the private commercial broadcasters. So I think it's in any case, we have to do big efforts all the time. And the challenge is, how it will go on now with more and more online. But I think the question is there a lot about that we are providing support for the people. And for example, we are training a lot about media law, about media ethics. Yeah, that is a core aspect of our trainings. So maybe that gives an idea about,
Mm-hmm. One part of autonomous work of media is definitely its financing. And there are a lot of discussions, should the financing of third media sector be mostly come from the state finances or public finances, or should it be independent in the way there are more different sources of financing, so you don't get in danger of being subject to context subject of government who let's say pays you. How is this regulated or organized in Austria and Ireland in a way?
And how it should be? I mean, what are different suggestions also?
Well, if I just go on for Austria, if I may. Well, we have succeeded to get voted installed a non-commercial broadcasting fund, which is a proper specific fund for our non-commercial broadcasting sector, for the community media. Well, it's not very high, it's 3 million each year, and it's taken also from the broadcasting fee, but we have a very specific situation in Austria that in any case the public service does not get the whole amount of the fee, which is given from all our listenership. So that is something which before was used for any other things in the budget. What we see in any case is it's not good to have one single source of financing, but every country has its different tradition how NGOs, how cultural activities, how media activities are financed. So actually most of the stations, they get also regional funding or from the town where they are, but there are also others in the town where they don't get anything. So the core source is of course this fund, this national fund, but then everybody tries to get a diversity of funding sources. And if you ask for a receipt, of course the more it is diverse, the sources you have, the better it is, because it just has less risk if one source breaks down, but there is a need for a specific fund. I think that is a clear thing.
Yeah, in Ireland it's a similar situation. The broadcasters draw upon a wide variety of sources, and they range, different sources from regional bodies, from social development bodies, from educational bodies, from cultural departments. And in Ireland, the community radio broadcasters are also able to apply for a portion of the license fee for a special fund for funding basically Irish produced programming. 7% of the license fee is essentially made available each year for both commercial and community broadcasters to apply for it. The situation is quite... external influence. There's no single body that has a strong influence on the community broadcasters, but it does raise real questions in terms of the ability of different community radio stations to access those various different funds, and then the sustainability of the sector and the ability of the sector to plan going forward, given that these funds are available one year but may not be available the next year, are increase and decrease relative to budgets and relative fundamental to policies, government policies. Obviously, Ireland went through a significant period of austerity after the financial crisis of 2007-2008, and the community sector really suffered there, and that had a knock-on impact on community radio broadcasters. So there is definitely a need for a core funding or a type of funding which is specifically for community broadcasters that is available on a multi-annual basis and allows them to plan and allows them to essentially develop their program offer in a way that, you know, is predictable and contributes to the upkeep of quality in terms of their output, and, you know, essentially again, you know, allows for stability in the sector.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And Tomáš, I mean, could we, let's say, learn or, you know, get something from this to our model? Because as we mentioned earlier, there is actually a proposal for like a fund, but that fund will be only for television production.
Yes, and it remains unclear which media will be allowed to access this fund, because it now, for now, we have only one television station with the status that is foreseen that will be allowed to access these funds. But maybe my point, except this, that of course we need special public funding for third media sector, and before that, of course, it's formal recognition, is that what is also important, that now, as I understood also in Ireland and also in Austria, we are in the same position that when somebody, when a community media has to compete for licenses, for frequencies, for everything with other commercial medias. And therefore, I could just contribute maybe to this as conclusion, that it is as equal as funding, as it is as equal important that also the licensing systems, the reserving of spectrum, also the access to digital transition, which is like really a problem in the sense of costs, let's say, for radio student and so on. It is also made available under special terms on account of public interest in the field of media for community media in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all with big words for today. Any last words from any of participants before we finish the broadcast?
Yeah, we would wish you, of course, big success with your efforts to get community media involved in the new revised media law. And if we can give any support, just let us know. We know it from Austria also. It was a long way, and we had also periods with very it's very conservative governments with very difficult periods. So yeah, we know it.
Thank you.
Yep. From Dublin, we would also wish you the greatest of success. And, you know, just to reiterate that it's so important to get the legislative recognition so that any law or any changes in relation to the allocation of spectrum or the shift to digital broadcasting or changes in the structure of public funding of media, that the community radio third sector will be considered within any of those changes. So,
yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And my point, I would just like to say thank you on behalf of all the community media workers and contributors in Slovenia for support, and of course also for taking part in this radio broadcast, which is in our sense our attempt to present the reality of third media sector also elsewhere in Europe to Slovenia public and also political decision makers. So thank you again.
Yeah, I would like to continue with thank yous. So thank you, you three masters of third media sector. With us there was Helmut Peisel from Austria, who works in Comet, Kenneth Murphy from Ireland, Technological University of Dublin School of Media, and our own Tomáš Zaniuk. Thank you very much. From how do I say, from political redaction of Radio Student, we were Martin and Virant. The technical genius was Žiga, and the one responsible for the stream is Bitens. Thank you very much. This was 89.3 megahertz, and let's continue with music.